Sounds of Radio.
So, I'm gonna place a bet. I'm placing a small little wager of $10 on Squatch.
Okay, $10 on Squatch. Any other wagers? All right, check 100. 100 nope. Check. New dealer, everybody. Okay, so this was I forgot who actually. Where I got the story. I mean, I know I heard it from with my buddy Al, because he was listening to something, and so there was a group of natives, Indians, and in a certain part of the country, and I don't remember where it is, but I'm gonna tell you exactly what took place. So what would happen is they had on one side of their village, and I'm just gonna use left, on the left side were Bigfoot. They knew the Bigfoot were there, and they considered them the guardians of the forest, and they respected them, but they were there. On the other side, they had dogmen. It was on the other side of this river area to their right. And what would happen is the dogmen would come in and they'd snatch people. They'd start snatching stuff, their kills, the food. They would snatch actual people, you know, in the people of the tribe.
Yeah.
And, you know, and after a while, you know, they would try to appease it by giving it food and doing these things to, you know, like make offerings. But it got to a point where, like, they're really pissed off. They're like, we got to do something about this. So what they did was they attacked the natives attacked the Bigfoot, but made it look as if the dogmen did it.
Oh.
So what happened was the Bigfoot saw this. And they're like, nah, this ain't happening. And then they went to the dogmen and they virtually ripped the shit out of them.
Wow. Yeah.
So it solved their problem. Because, so you won the bet. You know, Bigfoot's
problem solved.
Bigfoot's
won,
dogmen zero. It's one of those things where you don't want to make it angry. You know, either one of them. But, no. You know, Bigfoot. And I'll give you another great story about how good, yes, Bigfoots can be aggressive, and they're not always the nicest, kindest, gentler cryptid, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They're not like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, my friend. But there are, and this took place up actually in Vermont, but I don't know what part of Vermont. Some lady was living up there near, north of Vermont, near logging. They were doing logging, and he had a place there, and she was going with a walk with her dog up this logging road, like she's done a thousand different times before.
Mm-hmm.
And when she started walking, she started getting rocks thrown at her, and she's like, what the hell is going on? You know, maybe it's some rocks are coming down from the hill or whatever. But as she got to a point, she noticed something in the woods, and then she would see rocks landing at her feet. So she's like, what the hell is this? Got a little nervous. The dog started getting a little bit weird. And what she didn't really pay attention to the throwing. She kind of moved away past it. She kept walking forward. And she came up against a dogman that was up there.
Huh.
And she flipped out. The dog shit itself. It ran. And she was there by herself. And she slowly backed away from this thing as it was growling at her. And, you know, as she get past the other point where this other creature was throwing stuff at her, it stepped out of the woods and got in between her and the dogman, and it was a Bigfoot.
Oh, shit. So it was trying to warn her.
Yeah, it was warning her.
Damn.
Yeah. It was like, don't go up that road.
Yeah, stop here.
Well, it's funny because as an investigator, I have another investigator. His name is Chris Reinhardt. He's out of Northwest Connecticut. Great guy. He does Berkshire Mountain Squatch, and you should, if you want, I'll hook you guys up. We'll get the podcast. I'll hook up with whoever you want. And you should get my buddy Al. If you want to hear some good stuff, experiences from the paranormal, get Al Fanarigo on.
I listened to an interview today while I was at work that you guys did on Dogman Encounters with Vic Cundiff. I don't know when it was from, but you're telling that story about the lady that had the bait and tackle shop where she had an upside down handprint on the window. Yeah.
And I was
like, on the roof. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah, I was the one that figured it out. I'm like, you want to, she couldn't figure it out. Like, how did it do it? How did it twist it? I said, it didn't twist his hand. He was on your roof. That was the Dogman. She has Dogman and Bigfoot on her property.
And of course, I'm listening to that. And I'm up in Killington at a customer's house. I've been in the house all day by myself up there. And it's in the middle of nowhere out in the woods. And I was like, son of a bitch, I got to leave for lunch.
I got to go load up my shotgun right now.
I should have brought my lunch with me and just stayed here. But now I got to walk outside.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, because you also, in that story, you hear that the Dogman, this is what they do. They like to mess with people. So they started ringing a front door and a back door in the morning. Bing, 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 bing. And it's funny, when we met her up there, and her name's Gail Beatty, and she's a fantastic researcher for Bigfoot in the Hudson Valley. She sleeps on that porch because she does a lot of stuff down there, and she falls asleep there. There's a bed there. And there's a loaded shotgun, no safety on it, that's always there.
Uh-huh.
And extra rounds.
Yep.
And so she can handle herself, but these dogmen are they love to mess with people. They'll peer in your window. They'll try to get you to come out. They'll wiggle the door handle, or they'll make sounds. This is how creepy they are. Talking about Chris. Chris was at a certain spot with a buddy of his, and they heard what sounded like a dog yelping in the woods. So they went over and they started walking over to that spot, and there was no dog where they felt it was. Then they heard it a little bit further in. So they went back there and they went a little bit further. They were going to help the dog. There's a hospital. I know where they were because I spent 12 years of my life in that area. And at one point his buddy stopped me. He goes, no, we got to stop. They're luring us in here. It was luring them into the woods. This is not the only thing they made. The dogmen do these things. It's easy prey. Humans are easy prey. Very easy.
Gullible. Yeah.
You play on our like sensibilities of wanting to, help people or hurt animals.
But they got to know with us though, that if you cross a line, we're gonna make you pay for it.
Well, but if they're hungry, they don't care at that point.
True. You imagine one of these things cutting loose in a large populated area? That'd be...
There was once a report in the 1800s where they had a dogman on Broadway, a werewolf on Broadway. I'm not kidding. It wasn't like a Broadway show either. And the police were shooting it. And it's a very small story. If you look it up, you'll find it eventually, but it takes... It's very difficult to find that one because it's like put in like the police X files. But you got to understand, again, like I said, Bigfoot's an excellent mimic, and so is Dogman.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, that if you're in the woods or you're in a secluded area and you hear like a baby crying, like it seemed like it needs help out of nowhere, or you hear a woman like, help me, help, Don't just rush in. I mean, I know people are good-hearted people, but don't just go rushing in.
Yeah.
Because they are known to lure people. And also there are other entities out there within the woods. It's not just animals. And they will lure you there too. You talk about paranormal stuff. I mean, we haven't even gotten to the djinn, and to some of the entities that just dwell in the forest because they know they can do things there.
Now, because I mean, we have Jan.
Yeah, sure. I got nothing to do. I got to be honest. Happy Veterans Day, everybody. Thank you for your service.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
By the time this comes out, happy belated birthday to the Marines as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hoorah.
That's today. Yeah. So,
we actually, our last episode, we actually had,
that was 2 weeks ago.
Or 2 weeks ago. Yeah. We had a girl on. Right.
And Celine.
And Celine, yes. She does has a podcast, Caravan
Caravan of Lore.
Caravan of Lore, yes. God, I feel like I'm like, wait a minute, brain fart.
Well, yeah. Memory loss and all that, you know.
Shut up. He calls me up. He says I'm like 100. You know, he's like, oh, you're like 85, right?
No, you're like 15 in 1963. It's fine.
Yeah. Shut up.
What do you think? I mean, I don't know if you have kids, but it's like, you know, like, who are you again?
Okay. Yeah.
Dad.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was actually in Ohio, and she kind of went out a little bit, a little squatching.
Well, right. Not intentionally.
Not intentionally. But
they went out ghost hunting.
She was actually squashed. She said that she tried something that kind of crossed into the other genre, the paranormal genre.
Right.
She did the I can't think of what the term is. What she did the
Estes method where you had the like Estes method box and all that.
Yeah, right. she did that, but right. Out squatching.
Well, again, they were not intentionally squatching. They were out doing like a ghost hunt, and
she was asking
questions, and one of the other people had a flashlight, and she was getting responses back of, you know, she was asking yes, these questions. No questions. Yeah, and then the responses that she's getting back on the thing are bright, light hurts, stuff like that.
Right.
And then within like 10 minutes, they had something slap the side by side that was about 20 feet behind them that they had come in on. So she's like, I don't think that she's like, I didn't intentionally talk to Bigfoot, but I think I might have talked to a Bigfoot.
But she was kind of like, well, maybe that's a good, you know, one of those things that maybe somebody should actually try it again. It's out, you know, Bigfoot hunting is try the Estes method.
Well,
you know,
we come up with something called an active intelligent encounter, and we use it for Bigfoot, and we also use it for aliens. It's kind of similar to the close encounter, the fifth kind. There's a doctor that charges a lot of money for you to do this, but something you could do on your own. So don't pay them the money, but. So what an active intelligent encounter is, it starts off with the intention, and you have to have the intention, and you're using your consciousness to connect to what's called the ether into the universe and say, I'd like to have, I mean, you no harm. I'd like to have make your presence known so we can, you know, have an interaction, and that, you know, basically it. So that's why I'm here. Like you to come forward if you can, and you're using your mind to actually, you say it in your head, your mind's eye, you know, and you use that to communicate, and you know, you meditate and you focus in on making that contact, and we find that it works 9 out of 10 times, where you'll have some kind of interaction, be it a tree knock, rocks being thrown at you. You'll see some things, or you'll hear footfall. I do believe that if they can change their molecular structure, go interdimensional, if they can do something to that effect, which I think they can, and how they do it will be discovered when we get deeper into quantum physics. Yeah. You know, we're at baby stage right now. I think quantum physics is going to be like, you know, explain everything. Like, they'll create a filter through quantum physics where you look at some of your old shots in the woods, like, holy crap, there were 3 Bigfoot right behind us at the time.
Yeah.
And you're gonna see it at this point. So but I think they can manipulate like ovulus and other devices that people use. And they can communicate with you. But I also believe they can communicate with you telepathically. Just like some other cryptids and beings, where you'll hear it in your head, and you'll ask a question, you'll get the answer in your head, as if you're hearing it.
Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, that I love those. You know, we didn't intentionally go there to get a Bigfoot, but you know,
right?
Bill was taken, and you know, we haven't seen him since.
Yeah, hell, yeah. I went to this place, Wilson's Castle, and yeah. we both of us did, and I went there, you know, not in the intention of like, you know, possibly like I possibly thought we were going to see something, maybe. Right. I don't know. But like I didn't go there with the intention of, you know, participating too much. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I ended up participating and, you know, I got like a little bit more than, you know, what I thought, which was rather interesting. You know, when you get, when you hear stuff that you're, when you're doing the Estes method.
Right.
And we, and it's the funny thing is I don't know what the right way for that to do, to perform that is,
right,
versus the wrong way. But like, I mean, the first time we were there, we did it with, what was his name?
Brian Kano.
Yeah. Brian Kano.
Oh, you
Kano.
Was Brian? Yeah.
Yep.
He's a good guy.
And we did. Yeah.
Oh, it's super fun.
Yeah. We did his method, and which, you know, we looked at, I was actually looking at a piece of paper and just writing things down in a list and just shining a light, you know, and I had to write, you know, or keep writing and then, you know, whatever it was. Well,
yeah.
And then the next time around, I was blindfolded.
Right.
And I found like it was almost like I being blindfolded kind of like shut me off from like being able to even like comprehend like the whole, like, you know, radio and everything else that was cycling through.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people ever since watching Hellier. Have been playing with these things and I'm going to say it for, you know, although the Newkirks think they discovered this, this has been done long before they were doing it. They'll take credit for everything though. but you know, hey, every, you know, I love the series. I love the show, but you know, you're not the only people doing it. There were people well before you doing this and, you know, hell, if you go to most universities like UMass, they do crap like this on a daily basis. They've been doing it since, you know, the 50s, you know. But I like that method. And I like when you it's an interesting concept because when you shut off one of your senses, your body has to react to that. So you'll your smell will be there. Your taste will be there. Your hearing should be there. It's a little bit freaky because if you get a good session going and you're getting responses from things or whatever they are, and you may start feeling touches and it could bug you out and really mess with your mind. So, you know, you just, I tell everybody, and I don't care, you know, where it is, even on your own property. I don't know how religious you guys are. I'm not, you know, promoting for any team at this point. You know, I believe in God and I'm very spiritual, even though I'm also an ordained minister. But I believe in God. I have a relationship with God, what I call God. But you have to understand when you go to these events and when you're going to do these things, even with like the ghost hunting, I highly recommend that you say a couple of prayers before you leave and you bless yourself and you kind of cover each person in a ball of protection of white and golden light of God. And I do recommend burning some sage around you and each person before you go out and then when you get back in before you leave, because there are things in the woods that do exist. And even though you don't see them or you've never heard of them before, there are beings, there are entities, there are elementals, and some of them are really nasty bastards.
Now, would that be getting kind of into the territory of like the Fae?
Yep.
Okay.
And you also have to understand that before man was brought to this planet, if you get to the creation method, you know, by God. And because I don't know where people are anymore on a spiritual level.
You know, that's a good question. Cause there's a, it seems like, in general, that's, you know, no matter what team you play for, it seems like that's kind of fallen off pretty.
Yeah. I mean,
pretty,
you know,
recently.
Yeah. Organized religion has fallen off, but It doesn't mean that God has, but I'm gonna read you a prayer that we do say, there's a point to it. Holy Michael, the archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and, this is big, all the other evil spirits who prowl through the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen and amen.
I have heard that before, actually.
It's not just Satan in there. There are other things in this world that were here long before God said, I'm going to make man.
Yeah.
The jinn, which are, as common term would be genies, and the Arabs, the Muslims know about the jinn. They are beings. They ruled this earth. You know, they felt that they ruled the earth for years until God said, move over. I'm putting these people here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's the jinn. There are other evil spirits. I mean, ancient spirits here. There's Keith Richards. There's so many other people that have been here long before man has been here.
And Keith Richards shall remain.
Yes. Keith is great. I saw a great meme of Adam and Eve, and God's up there, and they said, God, who's this? And he's like, oh, that's Keith. He's been here before I was here.
He's been around forever.
Yeah. So that's the whole point. There's other things that are here, and it's not necessarily, you know, a demon or a devil. It could be something else, and we don't know what it is. It could be ultra-terrestrial. It could be extraterrestrial. I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff that takes place.
You know, that, and I'm a big, like, H.P. Lovecraft fan, and that kind of...
Oh, my God, great
stuff. You get into that where you're like, yeah, there's been shit here forever since before anything else. Like, yep. Maybe he was onto something, you know?
Well,
maybe he wasn't just just a crazy person, but...
Maybe he wasn't just a crazy guy drinking a lot of bath tubs.
Yeah, with a very, very, very poorly named cat.
Yes. Well,
yeah.
Lovecraft is, you know, but that's the whole point. I think, you know, someone else was talking about something. One of my buddies had a show I was listening to, and they were talking about how a lot of people that worked on certain series said that they were given this message to share with people in movies and television by third parties, like aliens or whatever.
Yeah.
Even Gene Roddenberry said that he felt that he wasn't really writing this as much as it was told to him, and he was told to write it down for Star Trek.
There was another one. I can't remember him. The guy that wrote Conan.
Oh, yeah.
Had a vision where Conan came to him in his sleep and said, if you don't tell him my stories, I'm going to come back and kill you. And then
I'm going to kill you now. Into the chopper.
You are one ugly son of a bitch.
Yeah. Exactly.
And actually, that's speaking of, you guys brought up a good point there with the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing.
Yes.
Have you seen anything about these people call them shimmer men?
I was listening to your show. It was a great show. I got to go back to listen to the other like 30 minutes. It's funny. My apartment where I am is like Ghost or a Spirit Grand Central Station.
Yeah.
Nice. And well, it is nice. I guess so.
Okay.
Well, it's weird because when you have little kids,
yeah.
I'll say that children see things, that are there that you're not seeing. Because their brain and is still working. It's functioning on two hemispheres. So they're tapped into these things. They're like little light bulbs for the paranormal. And if you have females, they're even worse. They're really in tune to it. So they see some stuff. But I see it too. I see it all the time. And I'm sitting on my couch. I'm watching something on TV. All the lights are off. And I catch out of the corner of my eye that there's it looked like the cloak in Predator, like we were talking about. And I see something there, and it's standing there, and it's moving, and it's ducking down behind this like we had like a suitcase there. And I stop and I go, I see you. Just go ahead and walk through. I know what you're doing. Go. It gets up and it starts walking through because I can see it.
Holy shit!
You can't see. You catch these things, and What's really great though is when my wife catches it, because she's a non-believer.
Yeah.
and she catches it, you know. One of the times my wife had to fix our ceiling because we live in an apartment building and they were doing something and water leaked in. So we moved our dining room table over and my wife into an area where it's like a corner. So she's, you know, my wife's facing the wall and the, you know, where the corner is, my daughter's facing another end and they're doing work there. My youngest looks up and looks into the corner. And there's no way you can get there. You can't go around it. It's all in that one corner. And my wife saw it. And she goes, "What'd you see?" And she goes, "Did you see that man there?" And she goes, "Yes, I did." And they saw a man there. So I have certain, I do remote viewing. And I have certain little gifts and abilities that I can do myself personally. But when you're too close to a situation, you kind of like, you're blocked. It's really weird. So I called the psychic for our group. Bronxville Paranormal, who's in Arkansas, mind you. Sorry. Oh, so the psychic for our group is in Arkansas. She's fantastic. And we'll call her up from here. So that's my go-to. I never ask her for anything, but if it's something I can't get to, I'll go to people that I know are good at what they do. So I call up Cindy. I say, "Cindy, this is what happened." She goes, "You got to tell them to leave." I said, "Is it bad? Is it evil? Like, am I getting the sage and the, you know, the Holy Cross out or whatever?" She goes, No. "He's missing half his face."
What the hell?
So I'll explain this and I'll tell you why. So basically what happens is, picture when you die, when you go and you're either murdered or killed or you're dead. Normally what's supposed to happen is you transition to heaven. It depends on what you've done in your life, mind you.
Right.
You'll transition to a spot where, like, okay, welcome to heaven. Okay, you've got to go room 101, and you're going to be learning about something. Or there's different levels of heaven, but it deals with a light. So when you're dead, believe it or not, you may realize that you're dead. You may not realize you're dead. So you may be in this area, the ether, between earth and heaven. And a lot of times it's a dark place. They're pitch black, right? So with these little kids that are in tune with this stuff and can see these things, and, you know, like the Haley Joe Osborne, I see dead people. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. But as soon as he said that, I knew exactly what the hell was going on in the movie, you know. So what happens is some people freak out and they get to a point where they don't know where they are, and picture being in a pitch black room, right? And then out of nowhere, if you see a little light, a pin of light come in a pitch black room, it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to go to that. And you start going to that. Well, what they're doing is they're going to that light, which is actually someone who can connect to that area, which are usually little kids.
Yeah. Purgatory.
No, it's not purgatory. It's kind of like... I can't explain it. It's like, we call it the goblin universe. It's that ether. It's just an area. And some people just, instead of going into the light, walking into the light, they get off and they go, you know, they don't know what's going on. Why am I following these people? Where the hell am I? They're so confused and they get lost in that. Purgatory is a totally different ball game.
Okay.
See, you may be living it right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so what, when you say, like, with the kids, like, you ever heard of I think it's like the four stages of death?
Briefly.
So all right, when you're dying, okay. Right. Most people, don't matter what their belief system or whatever is, it's kind of weird for me to talk about this. I just had an uncle that just passed away.
Sorry about that.
Thank you.
My condolences to you and your family.
Thank you. And what happens is, I actually had to take I took a class on this, which was really weird. And so happened that during the class, I actually had an aunt that passed away. And what happens is, So you start off when you know you're going to ultimately die. You have the denial stage where you deny that I'm not going. No, it's not going to happen. Not to me.
Right.
Well, then you come to acceptance. Well, and then you accept it. Okay. Right. And then there's like this other stage where you talk about kids, you know, seeing things. Well, you come to that stage where you start to see into that ether. And my uncle actually started to see into that ether because my aunt was telling me this.
Right.
He was actually like pointing, like, you know, do you see, you know, and she's like, no, I don't.
Yep.
You know, but he's doing this with his eyes shut.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he's kind of like, it's like third brain, you know, third eye is seeing something there. And, you know, I mean, me, you know, I'm only 41 and I'm not at that stage. I'm still that, you know, I'm petrified of death. I'm, you know, absolutely petrified of it. You know, it's that finality that, or something that I can't wrap around.
Well, have you ever heard from people that have had near-death experiences where they've died?
Yeah, actually my dad.
Well, after, I don't know if it was when you were aware or older or before you were, you know, you were born or not, but a lot of people that have a near-death experience are really upset when they come back to Earth in the human form, because it was a very peaceful, loving place. They describe this wonderful place where you don't have any worries. You just, it's just a pure love type of feeling. Yeah. Like everything's great. And then you come back and you're like, you know, clear, and you're in pain. And a lot of people get depressed after that. In the stages, and I'm not an expert on death. I'll tell you that right there. But from what I've read and from people that I've talked to, what usually happens is, when you're about to die, they don't want you to die alone type of thing. So they'll send family members with you to greet you. That's why you hear like, oh, there's my grandma Sadie. And you're like, grandma, Sadie's been dead for, you know, 25 years. You know, they'll send somebody to greet you and they transition you into the light. They take you up there to where you have to be.
Yeah.
That's why some people don't get that. So they get stuck. It's a traumatic thing. It wasn't maybe supposed to happen. And they get stuck in that ether. And they don't know what the hell's going on. Other people, I'm sure there are plenty of stages to it. And it's just, I don't know if it's a denial thing as much as, I guess it depends on the situation where someone is terminating, you know. I feel terrible for those people in 9/11. You know, it's funny, in a really weird, macabre way, that when people have the choice, like when the building's on fire, people rather go out the window than be burnt by the fire.
Yeah.
And there were certain people, and you've seen this in some of the videos, and they figured, oh, I'll just use my coat will be like a parachute. Well, I don't, you know, we know the result of that.
Yeah.
But the it's either that or burned to death, and people don't, you know, that's a horrible, painful way of going type of thing. So it depends on the trauma involved in the passing. It's a very weird subject. It's really interesting too to hear the stories. Some people have gone there and they're told certain things. And they're told, you're going back, it's not your time, and you're going to tell the world about this. And there are a few people that have really, like, SOB type of people, like real people, like, oh, he was a piece of crap growing up, you know, he's always stealing stuff. They've had a near-death experience, and they've totally changed their life around. Because they were shown things, and they were given an option. and they were sent back. It's very bizarre. It's
basically being told, you know, hey, you're getting a second chance. Don't screw it up this time.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, and that's what I said before. There's different, you know, how they have Dante, you know, has different levels of hell. Well, there's different levels of heaven.
Yeah.
So it's funny. We've had some interactions where people, even some really bad people, can get to heaven. And what happens is they get on the lower level and they're told why they're in the lower level. And they're, you know, I mean, I've not died just yet that I'm aware of. And they're shown, you know, this is from just people coming back. They said, this is where you are. You have choices to make. You know, you can turn it around. And once you, you know, do what you have to do in those levels, then you graduate to the next level and it just gets better and better. It's not like, you know, like hell, like purgatory. I mean, there, I believe that there is a hell, and I believe it sucks. And you know, you don't want to be there. And there are certain people that go there.
I mean, if you have one, you have to have the other. That's the way I've always kind of looked at it, you know.
As above, so below, right?
Exactly.
I don't know. And I have that, like, mentality of, well, I don't really know.
Right.
But when it, but then the other part of me says, everybody always says, you know, heaven, you know, heaven, hell, all that stuff.
Right.
I think, what if you got that actually turned out to be false? And it's just one place, and it's it's just, you know, it's just whatever happens, you know, you were meant to do this and that's right. It, you know,
until someone has gone there and come back or whatever, if that's possible. And to say there are people that have had a heavenly experience and a near death experience. I don't even know why they call it near death. You died.
Right.
It's a death. It's not near death. It's like you're dead. It's a death experience.
You know? Pretty much every day is a near death experience at some point or another, but it's like, you're right. It's like you died. Like that's not near death. That's past it.
Right. Yeah. And you've had people that have gone to like a heavenly thing. And then you had people that have also said, I've been to hell. And totally change their life around as well from that. Then there's some people that don't care. They, you know, it's very interesting. There are individuals that play around with things, occultism and whatever, you know, devil worship, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
Be it they're bored with their lives or they're easy to manipulate or whatever their goal is, like, I'm going to be powerful, whatever. You don't understand. You're being used as a tool. And a lot of these people find out the hard way that it wasn't worth it.
That's and why then, we don't mess with Ouija boards on the show.
Oh, no. I highly recommend you do not play with Ouija boards.
No, I don't even like looking at them. Nope, good.
You know, we had a Ouija board at one point because it was Milton Bradley's Ouija board.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and people, the problem with it, there's multiple problems with it. You never know who you're really talking to. I think,
or what you're talking to.
Yeah. I think they're portals to negativity and evil. And most of the time people don't know how to close them.
No.
And that's a huge thing. If you don't know what you're doing, it's like, just give the 3-year-old the 9mm. Yep. That's it.
Yeah.
It's from Milton Bradley.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's not like a good idea.
1970s lawn darts are totally safe. Just go and chuck them at your brother. It's fine.
That's fine. Stand right there.
You know, we went to Salem after we did our little series that we did there, and one of the shops that we went into, in the back of it, they have a spirit board museum, and they're like, "Oh, it's free if you come in." And I'm like, "I don't think so." Like I'll come in, I'm going to buy a drink. I'm going to buy I bought my wife a hat and I'm like, and I'm good. Yep. Cause there's people in there like touching them and shit. And I'm like, no, you people are insane. No.
Ron and I have like, we designed communication boards for different events, like to communicate with aliens and whatever. I've designed them. I don't play with them.
No,
I can't, it's too risky. I mean,
yeah.
I got to be honest, fellas, life is tough enough as it is.
Yeah.
to allow demons to come in.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Nah, don't want to play that anymore.
My pay grade here.
For sure.
But same situation we did a couple of years ago. There's Ocean State and Paranormal. And they were raising money for battered women in Rhode Island. So we went to visit, and there's one guy there. I was walking around interviewing people, and I had a brand new, like, not a GoPro, but like a faux pro, you know, like,
yep.
a, you know, fake one. But mm-hmm. It was 4K. It was great. I had it on my stick. And we went into all these different tents, and, you know, we went into this one tent, and we're like, hey, so what is all this stuff? And he has, like, a letter from serial killers and actual, like artifacts, like, from Richard Ramirez. He has a letter written in blood. And he goes, well, everything in there is haunted. I'm like, oh, that's great. And I came out, and my camera was dead. It broke. Brand spanking new. And I'm like, damn. Well, next time, ask before bringing it in there.
Yeah.
You know, these things happen. There are cursed objects that are, you know, I don't play with them. And Ouija boards, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, no, I ain't messing with that. Yeah, it's like, was it Robert the Doll, where you're supposed to ask permission before you take pictures of it? There was a guy that didn't, and then he like wrecked his motorcycle on the way home and stuff like that.
Oh, God.
Like, yeah, no, let's not play around with stuff. Just
it's, you know, I guess that was all designed for what's his name? Zach T. Baggins or whatever. to put in his museum, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy has a Dybbuk box, and it's just, he took, what was it? Post Malone went in the museum, and he touched the box. Well, you're not supposed to, these are really bad mojo. It's bad, you know, Hebrew, Jewish, you know, mojo. And you're cursed from it, you know, and they didn't believe it. And
He may have been cursed before he touched it, though.
No. that could have been the case as well. But in general, after that, like the next couple of weeks, whatever, his car got in an accident. He was on a plane. They had to make an emergency landing. I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff. People push the buttons the wrong way. You know,
yeah.
I don't like doing the ghost stuff anymore as much. I'm more into cryptids. I still do it. We still do it. You know, we have a couple of cases. We still do it, but I think it's a little bit boring. Like, turn on the light. Oh, God, stop making them turn the light on already.
Yeah.
Give me a break. You know,
stop bringing cat toys.
Yeah, exactly. One for yes, three for no.
That was the big one. Like the second time we went to, the first time we went to did the thing at Wilson Castle with Brian. He kind of like not exact terms was kind of like, and the next time I go on an investigation and somebody brings out a box of cat balls and puts them on the floor, I'm going to throw up. And what happened at the second one? They brought out light up fucking cat balls and set them on the floor. And I'm like, yeah, because this place was only built in like 1813. So it might not be super level. So when they start rolling across the floor, they're like, oh, exactly. They're moving. I'm like, yeah, because the fucking house is like.
Yeah,
completely uneven. I can do that in my house, you know.
Oh, well, I can do it in my apartment right now. Oh my God, make the battery move.
Yeah,
the thing was like with us. So the first room we started in there,
right,
was the best like we had experience. We went to these other rooms and we did all this other stuff like, you know, like do this, and nothing happens, but. We were in one room. We had an iPhone with a thing, a kit, one of those apps going.
Ghostbox app, yeah.
Ghostbox app going, okay? And we were asking questions. Just asking questions. You know, that's it.
Right.
I mean, we were getting conversation back. You know, we were getting answers. But we weren't asking like, hey, can you light up the damn box? Can you do this? Can you do that? I mean, hell, Kevin, I think here, like even thought like maybe, okay, I'm going to try to trick. I'm going to see if this is real type of thing. I'm just guessing at this, you know, and he can either comment on this after and say, you know, either I'm right or wrong. But he asked the question of how many Kevins are in the room? and it responds, or how many Kevins are here? And it responds back with 3. And I look over at him and I see this Cheshire Cat look on his face. And I say, ha ha, you dumb son of a bitch. This is wrong. There's actually only 2.
I said, no, there's only 2 of us here. And then it said 3 again.
Right.
So as we're crossing into the next room, the other group that's headed into the room that we're in, we're kind of like mingling and talking.
Right.
And there, I shit you not, there's another Kevin there. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
They do that. you get those responses. I mean, I've been through plenty of these things, and I like to ask better questions. Like if I ever have a psychic on my show or whatever, I ask every psychic I've ever met, and sometimes when we do ghost box sections, 2 things. I always ask them, like, you know, what are the Powerball numbers? And, you know, I mean, like, that's what I usually like ask. Non-normal questions, because I'll throw comedy into anything, and I also ask Chinese or pizza. Just take a pick, you know. Should we have Chinese or pizza for dinner tonight? And you get answers back, and you'll get. I've had a ghost box session where I asked that, you know, joking around, and I got a chuckle.
And you know where you are, there's no wrong answer to that.
You know? No, well, I don't do Chinese food anyhow.
I was going to say, you've got like the superior style of pizza, and then, well, you've got a bunch of Chinese food.
It's pretty good. I mean, I don't know how far you guys away from New Haven, Connecticut, but it's worth the road trip to.
We're ways.
Yeah, a few hours.
Yeah, like 3 hours, but maybe.
It's, I mean, it's better than that Chicago style shit. I don't know.
I'll meet you there right now.
That's lasagna.
If you take 3 hours, I'll take about 2.5 to get there. We'll have pizza and we'll be fine. But, you know, I like to ask a little bit unusual questions for, because everybody asks the same thing. Are you dead?
No, dipshit.
Yeah, it's like, I'll tell you, I took a psychology class at school up in UMass. And there's always this one person that's like, so what you're saying is my mom throwing out that doll, my doll was a metaphor for my life. No, she's not saying that at all. She's talking about something totally different. You know,
yeah.
Everybody reads into things and they shouldn't, you know, I like ghost hunting. It's really weird because we're not shooting at anybody and they call it hunting. I just get it. You know,
we had a guy that was like, I had asked, like, was it one of the questions I asked was, just curious, is it night or is it day?
Ooh, that's a great question.
You know, and I got back day.
That's a fantastic question.
Yeah. I mean, and then the other guy goes, this other guy that was sitting next to Kevin's wife goes, what color shirt am I wearing? And it came back.
Blue.
And we're like, are you really wearing a blue shirt?
All the flashlights came up at the same time. It's like, that shirt's blue.
Yeah.
It's blue.
Because, I mean, you would know if it's daylight, you know, what color shirt you have.
And I asked questions there that I knew a little bit of the answer to. Like, so this place back... like back when I was a kid, like back in the early to mid 90s, they used to have peacocks there.
Uh-huh.
And I both times we went, I'm like, so do you remember the peacocks that used to be on the grounds? And I got, yes, both times.
Yeah.
Because if, you know, and then I asked again, was there peacocks here or were there not? And you got back, was. I was like, see, you can't fool me. You can't tell me no, there wasn't what I know there was, because I know there was.
it's just interesting. I always think of like you know, it's great to connect to individuals, you know, when you can, and you're helping people to connect with spirits and vice versa. It gets really, I'll walk out of a ghost investigation 100% if a little girl shows up. I'm not kidding, because it ain't a little girl.
Yeah.
It's unless we're talking to, like, we know that someone that was lost was a child. I'm out. That's an invitation for some serious poltergeist demon crap.
No, we ain't playing with that.
Yeah, no, I don't. And I, you know, it's funny with the group I'm with when my buddy Al started it, I told him, I said, look, if I get to a location and I'm not going in, I'm telling you, you shouldn't go in too. If I start feeling that. And demons and demonic is well above my pay grade.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
We don't handle that. I don't handle that. You know, you want to go in there, tough guy? Go ahead. But I got, you know,
you're getting a cab home. You're not riding with me.
Oh, yeah. That's actually, I have, you ever hear of Steve Stockton? He's, he has a couple of good shows. He's a great, he writes a lot of the paranormal stuff out, the great guy. And I told about an investigation. It's actually, we went to a cemetery called Letchworth Village Cemetery. And Letchworth Village is in Thales, New York. It's a 28,000 acre facility. Like I'm going to say mental hospital, but it was really where like bastard children were left or mentally challenged or, you know, problems. Yep. And they tested the polio vaccine there. And
yep.
That's where I've heard.
Okay. Yeah. I know of it. Yep.
Yeah. And they got a successful candidate for the polio vaccine. If they didn't die. And let me tell you, a lot of individuals died, and they tested on children. So the Letchworth Village Cemetery, which was miles away, well, because it's 28,000 acres, we found it. And there's like hundreds of people buried there. It's all unmarked, unnamed. And people have actually done some research. They put up a plaque for it. And you have individuals that were a month old, all the way up to like 90.
Oh my God.
That are there. So when you said you're not getting in my car, so we're doing this investigation and Al was really into the Dogman at the time. And we heard some really weird dogs. It's off a back end road. There's very few houses back there. And when we walked into it, we parked in this one area, we walked into it. As soon as we walked in, you walk down like a quarter mile, and then it opens up, and you see the cemetery that's there. And there's a big plaque that someone put up with, like, you know, this is to commemorate the people that passed away and were buried here, and has some names. It's missing names, but the stone is about 4.5 feet tall and probably about 5 feet wide. So I said, let's put our stuff behind the stone so at least our backs are protected, so nothing can creep up on us type of thing. And we can see things on both angles. We'll sit there, and that's where we put it. And we go through this investigation. We're having some really great, we did some EVP sessions with it. And at one point, he kept hearing this dog barking. You know, like that's a really weird dog, you know, type of thing. And we did find a path off the area where the cemetery is. And when we went down the path, we found one of those dogman type of trees. It was a huge tree up, looked like a giant, really messed up umbrella. And we knew what it was, like, that's dogman. And Al kind of felt like we were being drawn to a certain area, like we were being, you know, like lured there. So we broke away from that. We went, we got something to eat. We left the cemetery during the day. Went to get something to eat at the diner, and we were going to do a night investigation there too. And we're doing this night investigation. We're just sitting there. But prior to us leaving, these kids came bolting in on like a 4x4. And they were talking to somebody. I don't know. We don't know where they are. So I said, we should make our presence known. We made our presence known. They're like, what are you doing here? Well, we're paranormal investigators, and we're here to, because they're paranormal investigators. And, you know, he's speaking into his walkie-talkie. And, so they, like, as soon as they heard that, they got out. As fast as they came in, I've never seen people leave so quick. So I said, that was odd, curious. And we went out with our investigation for a little bit before leaving. We went to a diner locally, got something to eat, and went back for the night. And they saw us coming in at night. But this time when we parked a little bit further up on the road underneath this little light that was there. It looked like it was a pathway for a nature trail. So we figured we'll park there. So if someone sees it, no one's going to ticket it or whatever. We're New Yorkers. Everybody gets a ticket for something, right? You know? So, and we go in there, and as we go in there, these guys came back in And I said, you know, we should stop them and ask them about, you know, the area, if they heard anything strange here, Bigfoot, you know, whatever. And we stopped them and they said, you still here? Like, yeah, we're still here. And they radioed back in. They're still here. Say, hey, can we ask you some questions about the area, like any weird stuff? No. And they took off. So we continue our investigation. Oh, it was very weird. And so we decided to continue the investigation by sitting there and letting this, you know, this resting for a few minutes. And as we're resting, it was a full moon again. I like to go places in full moons. This white mist starts rolling into the cemetery. A classic horror film type of mist. And we're like, yes. And we both said, like, dude, that is so, like, not cool.
And then
the mist coming in.
You're just waiting for a hand to come up through the ground, you know?
Yeah, something like that. And,
and then Thriller starts playing.
Yeah. Everybody's dancing, all the bodies. Yeah. And we're there for, you know, like, we're there for about another hour before we, like, he's acting a little weird. And, you know, I noticed it. He goes, no, I'm fine. I'm like, no, dude, something's wrong. You're weird. I think it's time to go. We're getting colder. And we said, okay, well, we'll pack it up. And besides, I had to go to the bathroom. I had to pee like a racehorse. You know, it was cold. We're out there. There's no bathroom. I'm not going to pee in a cemetery. It's so disrespectful.
Yeah, no, you go across the road for that.
Yeah, yeah. So we walk out the corridor away. We have our little headlamps, and we're walking up towards his car. And he had a Jeep at that point, like Jeep Liberty. And as we're walking closer to the car, now I'm on the passenger side, and I remember getting out. I'm on the roadway. It's a 3-foot grade to go down to where that path was, that nature trail. And there's this big dog looking thing sitting there. So I'm like, wow, that's weird. Is that a deer? I don't know. So we start walking towards it, and he's putting stuff in the back of the car, and I go closer to it. I'm no more than 20 feet from this thing. And it's sitting there, and it's big. It just sits there. And you can see the ears, the pointy ears, and there's a snout, and it's a little bit in the shadow. So you kind of can't make out too much detail. And I'm peeing in front of it. I start peeing in front of it. And being a dog guy, and I know about dogs, when you pee in front of a dog, you're being the alpha.
Yeah.
You know, so you're an alpha at that point. You're telling that dog, when a dog pees in front of another dog, it says, I'm the boss, you're my bitch.
Yeah.
That's what an alpha does. That's exactly. So I'm peeing there, and this dog, this thing is sitting there, and it does not moving. Now, mind you, I have 3 machetes on me at the time. So I take my pack off while I'm peeing and throw it in the car. And he's like, Bri, we got to go, Bri. I'm not liking this now. You got to go. And I'm like, no, we're fine. He goes, hurry up. You can do this later. I'm like, no, dude, I got to pee. So I'm peeing like Austin Powers type of pee. You know, it's like, I can't do this later. And he's like, get in the car, Bri, get in the car. And I'm like, no, we're fine. And all of a sudden, this thing, it's really weird. It goes down. It just lowers itself down to the ground and disappears. And
what
at that moment,
hell?
Right, at that moment, he's like, get in the car. I'm leaving. I'm like, you're not leaving. He goes, yeah, I'm going to leave. And I'm like, the goose pimples come up on my arm. And that is a huge sign for me. When I get the goose pimples, I know shit's getting real. Okay?
Oh, boy.
So I'm like, you know, it's time to leave. Zip up. I hop in the car. We take off. Basically, what I was peeing in front of was a dog man. And it was just sitting there. And what really blew my mind is that it did not move. It stood there like a statue. It sat there. Now, I'm 6'1". I'm on a 3-foot grade. That makes me 9'1" tall. From where I'm standing right there.
Yep.
This thing's snout came up to where my nose would be.
Holy shit.
Sitting down.
That's big. Yeah,
it was really, really big. Steve gets a kick out of the story all the time. And looking back on it, wasn't one of my shining moments, you know, for this whole thing. But the reality of it is, once it disappeared, I think it was going to creep up around us. And like, oh, you think you're the boss? Let's see how good you are.
Yeah.
At that moment. And I knew it. I mean, like goose pimples, like solid, like I was like bubbles all down my arm. And I knew, like, we had to get the hell out of there. So I always say that Dogman probably went back to the Dogman pack. There was this fat guy, and he started peeing in front of me. Thought, oh, you're the boss? I'm going to show you who the, you know. I always thought it would be like a nice conversation with him. But, yeah. Talk about
good thing you didn't pee on me, because if he had.
It's just, I mean, Steve's like, I've gotten so much mileage out of this story. I'm like, go ahead, take it. It's yours. You can do whatever you want with it. Yes, I peed in front of a dog, man, and I lived to tell him. You know, I just think it was shocked, actually, that I was, you know, you're talking about something that's such a massive creature that normally people are scared shitless out of. But at the moment, it was like, it looked like a kind of like a Marmaduke. I didn't see the full figures. Because frankly, if I saw it really in full light, and we knew it was a dog man, we wouldn't be going back to the car.
No.
It's a fact. Or we would have went in through his, you know, the other side and gotten out of there somehow. You know, but it was a dog man. I mean, classic. Jeez, classic dog man at the time. And we're like, do you think it's a dog man? I'm like, I don't know, dude. He's like, get in the car. He's screaming at me. We'll be right back.